الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، yesterday we got into باب قول الله تعالى ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have commanded mankind to be compassionate, to be kind, to be good to his parents. And we mentioned that this verse mainly tells us about the importance of kindness to our parents and being nice to our parents. And that this ihsan al husna that Allah has commanded in this verse, we mentioned that it has to do with our speech. Every speech we make to our parents must be good. No other than good speech must come to us towards our parents. And we also mentioned that it must be regarding our actions too. No other than a praiseworthy action must we direct to our parents. There is no action that we should do regarding our parents, we should direct to our parents, except an action of compassion, an action of mercy. Likewise, practicing this verse and employing the meaning also involves making sure that no negative statement comes to us from our parents. No negative statement comes to our parents through us. We do not direct a negative statement to our parents. Neither should we direct a negative action to our parents in any circumstance. And that was why we mentioned that this explanation of what was sayna al-insan biwalidayhi husna, that what was sayna we Allah, this is how Allah has expressed it, that we have enjoined mankind to be compassionate, to be nice to his parents. This approach of making us understand that what was sayna, the command is a big command. Because Allah expresses it and mentions it while expressing Allah gave it with a pronoun of majesty. So this is a big, huge command Allah has enjoined mankind. And it shows how significant it is for us to be kind to our parents. This is the first point here. And then we have explained also that al-husna or ihsana that Allah commands in this verse and in other verses that we mentioned yesterday, they have to do with our speech, they have to do with our actions. We went to Surah Al-Isra to bring a verse that explains this verse further. That is, مَا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا and so on to the end of that verse. That the verse in Surah Al-Isra explains this verse in Al-Ankabut and its twin verse in Surah Al-Ahqaf and a verse that is similar to it, I think, in Surah Al-Luqman. So these verses are all connected to one another and it shows that Allah takes it so important that mankind is kind to their parents. We all must be kind to our parents. This verse itself regarding the order to be kind to our parents, it's a very, very important verse. So we all must be sure that we are kind to our parents, we are nice to them in our speech, we are nice to them in our actions. Inshallah, like we mentioned in other parts of this book, we are going to mention other issues regarding being nice to our parents. What is the reward for being nice to parents? What is the punishment for being undutiful to parents? All of these will be mentioned, inshallah, as we proceed in the reading of our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. But I think there's a point that deserves attention in this verse itself. And that is the end of the verse. Allah says at the end of it, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطْعِهُمَا. This verse, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا, was revealed regarding Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of the eminent companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and one of the first of those who accepted Islam in Makkah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a very loved companion by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that Allah prayed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the dua of Sa'd whenever Sa'd calls. Says, Allahumma stajib li Sa'd idha da'ak. Oh Allah, accept the dua of Sa'd whenever Sa'd calls you. Whenever Sa'd invokes you, accept it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this dua to Sa'd. And we all know who Sa'd was in the history of Islam. If he made a supplication, Allah accepted it. Whether for an individual or against the individual. May Allah protect all of us. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, at the beginning of Islam, when he just accepted Islam, the early days of Islam in Makkah, he was, like he said, radiyallahu anhu, he said, this verse was revealed regarding me. How? He said, kuntu rajulan barran bi abi wa ummi. Kuntu rajulan barran bi ummi. I was a man who used to show compassion and niceness to my parents, to my mother. I was very nice to my mother. Kuntu rajulan barran bi ummi falamma aslamtu. But when I accepted Islam, when Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas accepted Islam, his mother was displeased. His mother, the mother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, was very displeased on why was Sa'd going to accept Islam. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas reported and said that his mother was displeased that he accepted Islam. And she started saying, مَا هَذَا الدِّينُ الَّذِي أَحْدَثْتَ. What is this religion that you have just started newly? What is this newly invented religion? Because all the religions, every deen that has to do with worshipping Allah, especially the deen, the religions that like the Jews and the Christians, and even amongst idol worshippers, one thing from the instincts of humankind is that mankind should be nice to his parents or her parents. There are verses in the Quran that show that. Mankind, even when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when Hiraqla was asking the people about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the good things that was mentioned regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he was encouraging the people to connect family ties. And he was praised for it. And we remember in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That Allah had commanded Bani Israel, that the covenant he had with Bani Israel is that لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ. You should not worship any other than Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And that they must be kind to their parents. This is evidence that even those who came before us are among the people of the book. They are commanded to be kind and nice to their parents. And despite the fact that they went astray after their messengers left them, these messages still remain in the remnants that you can find in their book, that they were commanded to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Allah alone, and be kind to their parents. So you see, it's always something that is known from the instincts of humans, and just like it is known from the instincts of all human beings that we should worship Allah alone. From the things that is known from the instincts of humans, even from the instincts of lower animals, is that we must be kind to our parents. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas had his mother contesting, why are you accepting a religion that's now saying, don't follow your mother? I'm your mother, you, I love you. Now you want to do something, I'm ordering you to leave Islam. So she was employing the command to be nice to the parents, to obey the parents, to show kindness to parents. The mother of Saad ibn Abi Waqqas was employing that as a means of removing Saad ibn Abi Waqqas from Islam. So she started telling him, radiyallahu anhu, she was saying to him that, قَالَتْ أَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِالْبِرِ. Has Allah not commanded that we should be nice to our parents? We should obey our parents? In another report it said, زَعَمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَصَّكَ بِوَالِدَيْكِ. You are claiming that Allah has enjoined you to be kind to your parents. فَأَنَا أُمُّكَ. I'm your mother. وَأَنَا أَعْمُرُكَ بِهَذَا. And I'm the one commanding you. We know today that these kinds of statements are common with parents. Some parents don't like their children to practice the religion correctly. Some parents will say to the children, remove your hijab. When the child refuses, they would say, I'm your mother. Doesn't Islam command you? Doesn't Islam command you to follow your parents? So when you say, yes, okay, I'm your parent, I'm now telling you to remove hijab. So Saad not following his mother makes us understand that he had understood too, radiyallahu anhu, that la ta'ata lil makhluq fi ma'siyati al-khaliq. There is no obeying the created being in disobedience to the Creator. Yes, we must be nice to our parents. Yes, we must be kind to our parents. Yes, we must be dutiful to our parents. We must be compassionate to our parents. We must be obedient to our parents. But not in disobedience to Allah. In all of these that we will do, it should not be in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no created being should be obeyed in disobedience to the one who has created all things. That's why it's necessary to look at this verse from another meaning that the scholars have given to it. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. Some among the scholars say what this verse means, especially when we read with the qira'ah of وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. That this command itself for the children to be obedient, to be caring, to be compassionate with their parents is a kind of kindness from Allah to the parents. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. We have enjoined mankind, the walidayhi, to take care, to pay good attention to his parents. Ihsana, by way of showing ihsan to these parents. There are some of the scholars of tafsir who have explained this verse like this. So Allah saying that the child should be compassionate and good and dutiful to the parents is a means of showing compassion and mercy to the parents. So why is it that the parents who have been shown compassion by Allah will now be the ones who will command the child to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was in the first place compassionate to them and commands the child to obey them? So this makes us understand that la ta'ata lil makhluq, as much obedience as we must give to our parents, as much as we must be kind to our parents, as much dutifulness as we must show to our parents. This does not involve when obeying them involves, when being dutiful to them involves disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must not follow the parents. And we must not fall for the kind of what the mother of Saad was saying at the time, that زَعَمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَصَّكَ بِوَالِدَيْكِ. So the day you say, oh, وَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. We should be kind to our parents. They come and say, oh, yes, you should be kind to your parents. And then I commanded you to remove hijab. You are not removing hijab. This is not from being kind to the parents. And it implies that the parents, in this kind of a circumstance, may Allah protect all of us. The parent who does this kind of a thing to the child would be paying back Allah's kindness with disobedience to Allah. And that is not proper at all. So Saad ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, in the end, he said to his mother, "Ta'lamina wallahi ya abba, you know, oh my mother, law, you should know, oh my mother, لو كانت لك 100 نفس if you have 100 souls فخرجت نفسا نفسا and each of your souls begins to come out of your body one after the other ما تركت ديني لشيء ما تركت ديني هذا لشيء I would not leave this my religion for any reason if you have 100 souls if you think because I should be kind to you because I should be nice to you I should disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you think this is the case if you have 100 souls and each of these souls begin to come each of the souls begins to come out of your body one after the other I will not leave Islam because of your command thinking that I'm obeying you because that is not from the aspects of dutifulness to parents so it's not from the aspects of dutifulness to parents to disobey our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to obey and claim to be dutiful to the parents this is not proper at all we also adjure parents if they are listening to us we are all parents now too parents should be sure that they are not commanding their children to disobey Allah and then requesting from the same children to follow their own instruction there is no obeying the created being while in the same process disobeying the one who has created all things that is why the verse follows and says wa in jahadaka ala an tushrika if the parents begin to compel you begin to adjure you begin to push you begin to admonish you ala an tushrika that you should join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on things that are similar to that join partners with Allah disobey Allah subhanahu مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ إِلْمٍ in a matter that you don't know about this thing is it from the aspects of shirk or not ulama say Allah has placed this matter such that if you shouldn't obey them in a matter that appears like shirk how about those ones that are clearly known to you to be shirk will you now follow them in that وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَمْ تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ إِلْمٍ they say Come, join us in what we are doing. And it appears not clear to you that this is from the aspects of shirk or this is from the aspects of iman. The individual does not know. He should not join. How about those things that are clearly from the aspects of joining partners with Allah and committing sins against Allah's instruction, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then definitely they must not be obeyed. Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا Do not follow the parents in these kinds of circumstances. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا But in terms of other worldly affairs, صَاحِبْهُمَا relate with them in a nice way. So the instruction to be dutiful to parents, the instruction to be compassionate and kind with parents does not involve that. We should disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of obeying our parents. But while still doing that, while still not following the parents in the matters of disobedience to Allah, we must ensure that in other matters of this dunya, we can still extend goodness to them. Inshallah, we'll be coming back to these issues also in our book here. Al-Adabul Mufrad, may Allah make it easy for us to read. And may Allah make it easy for us to understand and be able to practice and adjust. So we should adjust, parents should adjust, children should adjust. Both the parents and the children have been created to obey Allah. It is not appropriate for parents to push the children towards disobedience of Allah. Neither is it appropriate for children to be the means of their parents disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us. The first hadith to come into, inshallah, is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, hadith 1. After we have tried to explain the chapter heading, the hadith itself also talks about the importance of dutifulness to parents. And that hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has reported it from Abu al-Walid. We will not be paying much attention to the issues of isnad, except if we find a pressing benefit for all, so that it does not burden the rest of our brothers who are not having Arabic copies with us. Even those of us who have Arabic copies, for those of us who have the copies of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, we will not find these assignments there. He had removed the assignment and graded the hadith. So all he mentioned was either the companion who was reporting the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the tabi'i who was reporting from the companion. If there's a story in the hadith that is connected to the tabi'i, as in this case of this first hadith we'll be reading from this book, the story is somewhat connected to the tabi'i, Abu Amr al-Shaybani, or al-Shaybani, who has reported the hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So he started from him. Rahimahullah. So we'll be saying that Abu al-Walid was the one directly from whom al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith. Abu al-Walid is Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik al-Tayalisi. Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik al-Tayalisi. He is the one from whom al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported the hadith directly, and he was reporting from one of the greatest scholars of Islam among the scholars of hadith, al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. And al-Imam Shu'bah has reported the hadith from al-Walid ibn Aizar, and al-Walid ibn Aizar was a tabi. Likewise, he was reporting from a tabi. So this is a hadith where a tabi is reporting from another tabi. A tabi is reporting from another tabi. I'm just mentioning this because of those of us who have the Arabic text. We'll soon leave this aspect of the discourse, inshallah. It says, Akhbarani, al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj reported the hadith from al-Walid ibn Aizar, who in turn reported the hadith from the tabi'i, Abu Amr al-Shaybani. Abu Amr al-Shaybani was a Mukhabram. The Mukhabramun, Mukhabram. The Mukhabramun were those who had accepted Islam before the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they were not opportune to meet the Prophet. They had accepted Islam before the Prophet died. But they were not opportune to meet the Prophet. Al-Imam Muslim has a book for them. He compiled regarding them. And he mentioned a number of them in his book. One of them was Qadi Abidatu Salman. One of them is Abu Amr al-Shiba. He was mentioned to have lived very long. Abu Amr al-Shibani was mentioned to have lived very long. Some of people even said that he was up to 120 years before he died. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called, as is in some of the reports, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was called in messengership, Abu Amr al-Shibani was even rearing cattle. But at that time, he was not able to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These have been mentioned about Abu Amr al-Shibani. The point here is that he's a tabi'i, but he's a mukhabram. He's a mukhabram. He lived during the time of the Prophet. He had accepted Islam during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did not have the opportunity to meet face to face with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because one of the conditions of saying that a person is a sahaba is that he will meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's not a companion. But he had great virtues because he was very learned. We read the Qira of Asim ibn Abi Najd. And this Qira of Asim ibn Abi Najd, one of his teachers was Abu Amr al-Shiba. One of those from whom Asim, whose qira'ah is very common in the world, one of his teachers from whom he learned in Kufa, because he finally went to Kufa, one of those from him whom he learned was Abu Amr al-Shibani. So he was a great scholar of Islam. He is the one who is reporting this hadith. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, an Abi Amr al-Shibani. So Abu Amr al-Shibani reported this hadith. He said, حدثنا صاحب هذه الدار حدثنا صاحب هذه الدار وأومأ بيده إلى دار عبد الله إذ وأومأ بيده إلى دار عبد الله is from the statement of those who have reported the hadith from Abu Amr. Abu Amr was the person directing, doing a gesture. We'll come back to it, inshallah. حدثنا صاحب هذه الدار. Abu Amru said, حدثنا صاحب هذه الدار. وأومع بيده إلى دار عبد الله. قال سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله عز وجل؟ أي العمل أحب إلى الله عز وجل؟ قال الصلاة على وقتها. قلت ثم أي؟ قال ثم بر الوالدين. قلت ثم أي؟ قال ثم الجهاد في سبيل الله. قال حدثني بهن ولو استزدته لزادني. أبو عمرو الشيباني said حدثنا صاحب هذه الدار. حدثنا صاحب هذه الدار وأومع بيده إلى دار عبد الله. حدثنا صاحب هذه الدار. The owner of this house, the owner of this home, this house, and as he said, the owner of this house narrated to us, he pointed to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Some of the scholars say this house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, was it his house in Medina or it was his house in Kufa? They both lived in Kufa. We wouldn't forget that during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to Kufa to be the judge and to be the head teacher at the time. He taught the people, he guided them upon the religion. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was one of the, and is one of the most learned person in this ummah. He said, I had learned over 70 chapters, surah of the Quran, directly from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only in their reading, in their meanings too, the hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. He said, if I knew anyone who had learned the Quran directly with their meanings from the Prophet than myself, I would have gone to him. No matter what, it took me to go to him. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a very, very learned companion. So Umar radiallahu anhu sent him to Kufa. So at that time, don't forget, Abu Amr al-Shibani is also Kufi. So it's possible that it's talking about his house in Kufa. It's also possible that it was talking about the house in Medina, because he himself was in Medina. He lived in Medina before he left. Before he left for Kufa. It's possible that هذه الدار, this house, is referring to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Medina. It is also possible that it's referring to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Kufa. In either of them, the house is known to those that he was describing them to. And it is the house of who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. So it says, Qala, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, the owner of this house narrated to us. What did he say to us? Qala, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ibn Ummi Abd. This was one of the names that he was popular with amongst the companions. Companions used to refer to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as Ibn Ummi Abd. In fact, the Prophet used to call him Ibn Ummi Abd. Let's not forget that Khuzul Qur'ana min Arba'a. The first of them that he mentioned was who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Then Ibn Ummi Abd, from Ibn Ummi Abd, the son of the mother of his slave. That was the nickname of Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu. So he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiallahu, Sa'altu an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyul amali ahabu ilallahi azza wa jalla. Which deed, Ayyul amal, which of the deeds, which of all deeds, which of all good deeds, which of all actions, ahabu ilallahi azza wa jalla, is most beloved, is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu. Which good deed, which of all the good deeds, is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala as-salatu ala waqtiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, as-salatu ala waqtiha. The most pleasing deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the servant observes his salah ala waqtiha upon their times. upon their times, upon their proper times, the times that have been allocated for them, especially upon their earliest times, because this is the best of Salah. So that will be the best of it. So observing Salah upon their earlier times. This makes us understand that two things are here. We must pay attention to Salah, because the Salah that is mentioned here is the Salah that the Prophet taught. It's not the Salah that each of us is observing as he likes or as he desires. No. The Salah that is in reference here is the Salah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught. So we must learn to observe the Salah correctly. And then we must observe the Salah at its best time. This is from the best of deed of a Muslim. Once somebody accepts Iman, once somebody accepts Islam, he comes into Islam and accepts Iman, the first of the deeds he must observe, and that is most daring to Allah, as far as Islam is concerned, is that the individual should observe his Salah. If a person accepts Islam after the Adhan of Dhuhr, Salah to Dhuhr becomes compulsory on him. If you accept Islam before the day breaks, in the night after Salah to Isha, before daybreak in the morning, Salah to Fajr becomes obligatory on him. If it was before Thulusul Layl, if it was before the third part of the night, it is still part of the time of Salah to Isha. Salah to Isha becomes compulsory on him. So this is how to understand that Salah is so important in Islam, especially that it must be observed at its time. Amin ahabbil amali ilallah. From the most beloved of the deeds to Allah is that we must observe Salah at its time, at their proper times, their earliest times. We must observe Salah at those times. Qultu summa ayyu Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, ثم أي then which deed is most beloved to Allah? قال ثم بر الوالد after salah, after directing salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, the most important of the deeds of the Muslim is that he is kind and dutiful to his parents. بر الوالد comes after salah. We'd mentioned to us that when scholars talk about manners, they say al-adabu ma'allah, then al-adabu ma'arasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next is that al-adabu ma'al-khalq, manners with the people. From the most important of the people that we must show good manners to are our parents. So you will see in this hadith, after Allah mentioned his right, perform salah, the next thing he is talking about is salah. So it's just like saying, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَفِي الْوَالِدَيْنِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. So you can see Allah is connecting Salah. He's connecting Salah. He's connecting dutifulness to our parents. He's connecting it to Salah, which is from his own right. We do not perform Salah for him or to anybody. We observe the Salah and direct it to Allah. After that, the next thing in importance in terms of the deeds that are beloved to Allah, as is in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, is the individuals being kind to our parents. It shows that it is so important and significant in Islam that we are kind to our parents. So as we learn to observe and perfect our Salah, we must learn to observe and perfect our dealings with our parents. Everybody has a job in this matter. Yes. As we love and perfect, yeah, salafi, yes. We want to perfect our aqidah, we want to perfect our salah, our ibadah. We must make sure that we perfect the whole walid. It is so, so important. It's so, so significant. From the most beloved of the deeds to Allah subhanahu is that the individual is kind and compassionate and dutiful to parents. Qultu summa ayya. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, then I asked, then which of the deed is also beloved to Allah after Salah? and after the duality. Qala thumma al-jihad fi sabilillah. After that, that is jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have, once the individual comes into iman, accept iman, we have salah at their proper times as the first deed belonging to Allah. Then we have after that birrul walidain. Then we have after that al-jihad fi sabilillah. But this hadith has been brought under this chapter because of the issue of and the importance of the rurality. That after salah, the most important thing the individual will observe is the rurality, being kind and dutiful to his parents or her parents in her speech and in her actions. No negative statements or actions must be directed to the parents. All of what must come from us in speech and action to our parents must not be other than good. All that must come to us, oh children listening, all you must do to your parents is to say goodness and to act goodness at all times. The only limitation that it has is when the parents were in jahadaka Allah and tushrika bi ma laysa laka bihi ilmun fala tuti'huma. And we have explained this just earlier in this class today. If it does not involve disobeying Allah, we must obey our parents at all times. We'll come back to these issues, inshallah, in greater details as we read along in this book. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Haddathani bihinna. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam told me these things. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَلَوْ اِسْتَزَدْتُهُ لَزَادَهُ. If I had asked him for more, لَزَادَنِي, he would have told me more. لَوْ اِسْتَزَدْتُهُ, if I had asked for more explanations on what he had said, لَزَادَنِي, he would have given me more explanations. وَلَوْ اِسْتَزَدْتُهُ, if I had asked him the next category of deed, the next category, he would have been telling me, لَزَادَنِي. And in the report of Al-Imam Muslim, he said, I did not ask him because I don't want to bring burdens to the Prophet. So you would see this companion, radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He loved the Prophet so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is usually responsible for the wadu of the Prophet. He takes care of the things, the bowl with which the Prophet performs with him. He takes care of his miswak. And during journeys, he takes care of the spreading the Prophet takes along. Ibn Mas'ud was very, very close to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm sure it was from this closeness that he learned the Quran. It was from his service to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he learned the Quran. In fact, there are some among the scholars that say that the Prophet used to tell him his secrets to that he saw Ibn Sirin that he liked to refer to Yaman, radiallahu anhu. So he was compassionate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the report of Al-Imam Muslim that we were talking about, he said, I noticed that he was tired. So I didn't want to bother him for that. He said, but if I had asked, he would still have told. He was compassionate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of the scholars who spoke about this hadith have said that this is the reason why the student of knowledge asking, students get busy with learning Islam and teaching Islam, when he asks his teachers questions, he should be compassionate with them. He should know when they want to go on, when they don't want to go on. When they are going on feeling burdened, he should know. He is burdened already. He is perhaps busy in his mind with other things. Or he could be tired himself. Don't go on bothering him with more. One more question. And then look at the manners that Ibn Mas'ud employed while asking the Prophet Muhammad these questions. He employed a lot of manners. When he noticed that it's not, let me stop, he stopped. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not be burdened with lots of questions. It also goes to show that good deeds are in categories. Not all good deeds have the same category. Ulama say, not all good deeds have the same category at all times. A good deed may be superrogatory at a time. It may have a reward that is so great, better than other superrogatory deeds at another time. So these kinds of examples were given in the last, the first 10 days of the Hijjah prayer. The good deeds, superrogatory deeds in these times are better than superrogatory deeds at other times. So times affect and positively influence the hugeness of rewards of the same deed. So this goes to explain good deeds are of different categories. Good deeds of different categories performed at different times come with different kinds of rewards. So the individual has the duty to follow up a particular good deed, follow up a particular good deed at the best of the times that that good deed could be performed. Salah at its time is a great must be noted and must be taken care of. But the point of reference for us in this hadith this morning, from this hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, is goodness to parents, birrul walidain. It's so important that Allah has connected it in the second category to Salah. After Salah, birrul walidain. Being kind and nice and dutiful to our parents. May Allah make this easy for us. Being dutiful to our parents when they are alive, in their speech, in our speech, in our actions, and in everything that we relate with them. But don't forget, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. May Allah protect us from this evil. The next hadith we'd like to look at today, inshallah, is the hadith in the copies that is in the hands of many of the brothers, especially those of us reading from the purely Arabic text. We'll find that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported that hadith from Adam. Haddathana Adam. That's what he said. Rahimahullah. Qala haddathana Shu'bah. It's also from the hadith of Shu'bah, the second time. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjah. Qala haddathana Ya'ya ibn Ata' an Abihi an Abdullah ibn Umar. Yahya Ya'la ibn Ata' was reporting from his father Ata' from Abdullah ibn Umar. We have said that we will not be discussing the issues connected to the chains of report. We are mentioning it because we will not think that, oh, this is a statement of Bukhari. Bukhari in Adab al-Mufrad. If you say that, we take it to mean that Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned it in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, but don't forget that it is not. It was not as if Al-Imam al-Bukhari, who was born 183 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, directly heard from the Prophet and was reporting directly from the Prophet. The link between them is, like we had explained to us, is not. We find Sanid in the entirety of our book and in other books of hadith and sunnah. So this hadith was largely mentioned to be the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. In many of the printed copies that I have seen of Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it was mentioned to be from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. Even in the translation and verification and brief notes that I gave on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, I remember that I mentioned it to be from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. But one of our teachers, Sheikh Samir al-Zuhairi, likewise Sheikh Faisal Musa Hadi, in their tahqiq, in their verifications on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, they mention that, yes, there are manuscripts in which you find that the hadith is from hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. But if you go to other sources where this hadith has been cited, it is from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr. So instead of saying Ibn Umar, the same way Amr is written, the same way Umar is written, with the difference of wow in front of Umar. And I think Allahu Alam, this is the correct. If you go to all the sources of hadith, the hadith is from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr and not from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. So write a wow in front of your Umar. In this second hadith, hadith number two. You find it there saying, An Abdullah ibn Umar. It is An Abdullah ibn Amr. I have also seen a manuscript of Al-Adab al-Mufrad that clearly says that it's from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr with a waw in front of the ra of Umar. I have seen a manuscript that carries Abdullah ibn Amr. So this will conform with what is available in all the other sources of hadith, where the hadith occurs. Okay. Hadith occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Check all the copies of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. In fact, when Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi was commenting, he was commenting on it as a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, not a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. And Abdullah ibn Amr, we all know it. The kinds of commands that the Prophet gave to people is usually having to do with a major thing these persons need in their life to succeed. When the Prophet gave a person a hadith, when that person talks to that, he succeeds. I have personally seen this in some statements some of the companions reported, and how that statement affected the lives of those companions. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As has been mentioned to be only about 10 years younger than his father. His father is only 10 years older than him. Amr ibn al-As is only 10 years older than his son Abdullah. Go to the books of Tarikh, go to the books of Hijaz. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As is mentioned to be only about 10 years younger than his father. So most of the times, you will see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling him something that has to do with how to relate with his father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell him something that has to do with relating with his father. In a report, it said that the Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittabi abaka, follow your father, especially when Amr ibn al-As accepted Islam. Because Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As had accepted Islam since a longer time before his father Amr ibn al-As accepted. His father accepted Islam late, even though the Prophet said it was not Islam that he accepted Iman. He accepted Iman. And he had a very lengthy story, radiallahu anhu. I am saying his father Amr ibn al-As, he was very learned, he was very exposed, he was very civilized, he was very brilliant, radiallahu anhu. And he brought all of these into Islam. Shortly after he accepted Islam, the Prophet made him to lead an army on a battle, radiallahu anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Amr ibn al-As was a very respected companion of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, his son. And Abdullah ibn Amr, he had a specialty. That specialty was that he had learned how to read and write. So from the early times, he used to write down the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that people used to say to him, why are you bothering yourself writing about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He came to the Prophet and made this statement, O Messenger of Allah, some of the people are saying that I'm writing just everything that he said. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iktubu. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْكُ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Write it. The Prophet pointed to his lips, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, nothing will come out of this thing except the truth. Pointed to his mouth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, was always writing down the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But don't forget, there's a small age gap between himself and his father, just about 10 years, between father and son. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, because this hadith is also authentic as a statement from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it occurs as a statement of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. And there is no issue about that. How many times will the companion hear a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and just mention it as a statement, not necessarily citing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And in fact, this hadith, as it is mawquf and as a statement of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, if you look at it properly, you see, Laysa mimma yuqalu birra. It is not from something that can be said from personal opinion. Because he's talking about what Allah is pleased with. He's talking about what Allah is pleased with. Will he be talking about what Allah is pleased with or displeased with, except that he had heard it from the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite the fact that there are asanis that have proven that this statement of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As in this hadith was something that he heard directly from the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we go back to Silsilatul Ahadith Sahiha, number 516, you see a detailed discussion on other various reports of this hadith that showed that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As actually heard this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that رِضَ الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَصَخَطُ الرَّبِّ فِي صَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ رِضَ الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَصَخَطُ الرَّبِّ وَصَخَطُ الرَّبِّ فِي صَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ رِضَ الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said in it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رِضَ الرَّبِّ, the pleasure of your Lord, الرَّبِّ. This makes us understand that from the names of Allah is Ar-Rabb. The scholars have mentioned one of the names of Allah is Ar-Rabb. The first verse, the second verse we read in the Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. So Allah is Ar-Rabb, the Lord, the controller, the owner, the provider, the creator, the sustainer of all. This is Ar-Rabb. The pleasure of this creator subhanahu lies in the parents being pleased, lies in the pleasure of it. وَصَخَطُ الرَّبِّ فِي صَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ. Likewise, صَخَطُ الرَّبِّ, the anger of الرَّبِّ, the anger of رَبُّ الْعَالِ فِي صَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ, lies in anger of the father. Al-Walid is the father. Al-Walida is the mother. So here he's talking about the father. Rida Rabb fi Rida Al-Walid. The pleasure of a Rabb lies in the pleasure of the father. وَصَخَطُ الْوَالِدِ وَصَخَطُ الرَّبِّ fi صَخَطُ الْوَالِدِ. Likewise, the anger of a Rabb lies in the anger of Al-Walid, the father. So ulama say the reason why Al-Walid has been mentioned, the Walid has not been mentioned. They say it is from the aspect of At-Tanbihu bil-Adna li-Bayani fadli-Al-A'la. At-Tanbihu bil-Adna. The lower one is mentioned. The mother has a greater right over us. We'll come back to that than the father. So if the father is being said to have, if the pleasure of the father, if the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the father for the individual, then it means that the pleasure of the mother will be accompanied by Allah being pleased with that servant is with a greater reason. If with the pleasure of the father, Allah is pleased with the servant, then with the pleasure of the mother is a greater reason, because the mother has a greater right over him than the father. So they say that is from the aspects of At-Tanbihu bil-Adna li-Bayani fadli al-A'la. For the rest of our brothers, we like to jot this kind of it. At-Tanbihu bil-Adna li-Bayani fadli al-A'la. So the hadith says, رِضَ الرَّبِّ, the pleasure of our Lord, فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ, it lies in the pleasure of our father. When our father is happy with us, our Lord is happy with us. Not over sin, not over disobedience to Allah. I think we discussed a little of that. رِضَ الرَّبِّ, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, في رضا الوالد lies in the pleasure of the father. وصحبة الرب and the anger of رب العالمين في صحبة الوالد lies in the anger of the father. When the father is angry, Allah is angry with the slave. When the father is happy, Allah is happy with the slave. He does not have to do with things, and that the father has a lower status in terms of rights compared to the mother, and his anger will bring Allah's anger to the individual. His pleasure will bring Allah's pleasure to the individual. Makes us understand that the anger of the mother is worse for that individual. The pleasure of the mother is also better for the individual. It will bring better because they are known from clear context to have greater rights over the child than the father. So this makes us understand the importance of dutifulness to parents. That dutifulness to parents can bring Allah's pleasure or will bring Allah's pleasure to the individual. Right? Likewise, undutifulness to parents can bring the wrath of Allah upon the individual. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. We can take one or two questions before the end of time, inshallah. May Allah forgive us and make it easy for us to adjust our lifestyles to be dutiful children to our parents. And that our parents are also good parents to us who will not be commanding us upon being sinful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen wa alaikum.
We have some questions here, but inshallah, I'll just try and pick those that are related to today's class, inshallah. A questioner is asking that, how do we correct parents that go or fall into mistakes? How do we correct them?
Well, we correct our parents in saying nice words. Da'wah itself, correcting people, al-amru bil-ma'ruf. وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Allah told us about it in the Quran. اُدْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ Invite unto the path of your Lord with good wisdom and good preaching. Good wisdom. You must be wise in the approach. And then our expressions must be good. The third thing we should involve is dua. We should involve dua, beg Allah before even approaching them and even after leaving them, that Allah guides their minds to that which is best for them. Abu Huraira did that regarding his mother. We'll come back to it. Abu Huraira's mother was a kafira. She would also speak evil about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Huraira told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't know how to correct my mother. What do I do? But he was busy looking for dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah should guide his mother. So one of the ways after good preaching with good wisdom is that we should make dua for our parents to change. And Allah accepted the dua of Abu Huraira. We'll come back to that in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So the way to correct our parents is bimada bil-hikmati wal-mu'izati al-hasana, with good wisdom and beautiful preaching, inshallah. Then with a lot of dua, as we have in that hadith of Abu Huraira.
Jazakumullah khairan. Another question here says, what do should I do to a father who is having stroke? The sister is asking because she is a female and the father is dealing with her. So what is she going to do to take care of the father, because the father cannot pray, cannot, and all of that. So how does she assist the father in all of this?
Well, people like that, they can still move their heads. If he can move his head, he can move his head and observe that salah in that circumstance, moving his head. If he comes in a situation where no part of the body can move, they should be reminded of salah at the time of salah. At least their mind will imagine the posters of Salah and the activities of Salah. And then the people like that should be spoken, good words should be spoken to them, like issues of Tawheed. They should be constantly reminded that their condition is one that Allah has preordained, because we know that it is from the preordainment because it has happened. Otherwise, no one knows Allah's preordainment. But when it happens, we know, yes, Allah has preordained it, because nothing would happen except that He has preordained it. So make them understand that it is from the aspects of being pleased with Allah's preordainment. This is what Allah has preordained. We also remind them that nothing happens to the Muslim in terms of discomfort and inconvenience, except that Allah uses it as a means of cleansing their sins. It may be a mumashesah. Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentioned, Al-Imam ibn Abi Izz al-Hanafi, he mentioned about 10 of them in his sharh of Al-Aqidah al-Tahawi. One of them is that the person becomes so sick before death, Allah uses it as a means to cleanse the person's sins. And that's why as a female, maybe daddy would pass feces or urinate and all of this. You should be there to clean him up. I have seen something like that. One of our neighbors when we were younger than this, the father had something similar to this. And the boys were the ones taking, he had only a girl. This person had only a girl. He lived for over 90 years. He had only one girl. At the time, the girl was living in Lagos. So she came all the way to Port Harcourt at the time to take care of her father. She was the one cleaning him when he has feces, urine, and gave him good bath. The father used to say, so my daddy was a very close friend, the closest person, let me say, to that person. So when my daddy came back, he was weeping and said, look at how a girl child helps the father. That it was until this woman came that this man was really relaxed. So she cleaned up the entire physics, rubbed everywhere, cleaned everything, the clothes, changed the beddings and all of these. This care is more than the care of money. Because most times when these kinds of parents are mentioned, people think that it starts and ends with money. Yes, there is an aspect of money that the male children are expected to cover and the other members of the family. But the direct attention of service itself is usually a female job. It's usually a female job. It's usually a female job. If a male does it, he deserves it. He'll get the rewards fully from Allah. And Allah will not deprive anyone of any good deed. But it's usually a female job, and it's actually far much more than sending money to accounts and sending money to people. This attention directly by the girl child is something that is very, very praiseworthy. May Allah reward the sister and forgive the shortcomings of all the rest of the Muslims who are in similar conditions. Those of our parents who have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them all. I think it would be convenient to stop here, Abu Abdul Bar.
Ma'am, ya Sheikhana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I like to say that, bismillah, we should keep it in mind. Maybe next Saturday will be a day for question and answer, or Sunday. We'll pick one of those days in the next week, inshallah, to make it be a day for just questioning and the answers. Perhaps next Saturday, inshallah. The entire day will be used for question and answers. Then we start the next part on Sunday, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Amen.
Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.